As I had us pray earlier about the jail, we will be going into the Forsyth County Detention Center tonight. And a lot of times when I go in, I will share, or maybe half the time at least, I'll share what I've shared with you that the Sunday morning. So I'll just share with them that night. Sometimes I don't, but about, I guess half the time or a little bit more often than half the time, I'll just share what I've shared here with you. I don't know how that makes you feel, that you get the same message that the guys in prison get, but we all need the same thing, don't we? Amen. But actually, it's reversed today. What you're getting today is really for the guys tonight.
Okay.
All right. And we're going to talk about how to get our souls out of prison.
Okay.
And I want, guys, if you could help me, if you could give everybody one of these. I want to, as I said, I've got a gift for Aurora, if you could help me as well. And pass those out really quickly, if you would. Make sure everybody gets one of these. But as you get it, as you'll see, this is, you might know what this is. You recognize it? It's the get out of jail free card from the game Monopoly. Okay. All right. 142, Psalm 142 and verse 7 is our scripture. Psalm 142 and verse 7. Mickey said he needed a bunch of them. Well, maybe we all need more than one for sure. Psalm 142, verse 7. Look at the scripture with me this morning. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. See, your body, and for all of us today, our bodies, our physical person, is not they're not in prison, right? Our body's not in prison. Your body's not in prison. Mine's not in prison. But you know, our souls can be in prison. And that's what the psalmist is pointing out here. He says, bring my soul out of prison. And so we're going to talk about how to get our souls out of it. If you've allowed your soul to get imprisoned, then we're going to talk today about how to get your soul out of prison. So let's first of all define what is our soul. Well, the scripture teaches us as we get in the Revelation, as we get into the New Testament, we see it more clearly. Where Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians, he says, may your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the truth is this, you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. In fact, why don't you say this after, say, I am a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body. Amen. It will really help you and help your faith and help you to discern the voice of God as you make that declaration and as you acknowledge that reality. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. Amen. Well, what is our soul? Our soul, that's our mind, our will, and our emotions. That's what your soul is. Sometimes people interchange spirit and soul, but really they're separate. The Bible says the Word of God divides the spirit and the soul. Our spirit, that's the real you, that's the part of you that's born again. But our soul, your soul, that's your mind, your will, and your emotions. And the Bible talks about our soul being restored. The Bible talks about us being transformed by the renewing of our mind. James writes and he says, receive the word engrafted, which is able to save your soul. He's not talking about the new birth there. The new birth, that's in your spirit. If any man be in 2 Corinthians 5 says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. That's your spirit. But then your soul, that's your mind, your will, your emotions. And we need to deal with that area continually in our lives. Amen? When you get born again, your spirit has the life of God in it. But a lot of times where we stumble and where we get tripped up and where we get defeated is in the soul. It's in the soul. That's the realm and that's the arena that Satan is able to operate in. He can't once you're born again, he can't touch your spirit. Amen. But he still tries to trouble your soul. He still tries to affect you in your mind, in your will, and in your emotions. And again, the psalmist says that our soul can be in prison. Well, what kind of prison would that be? Well, our soul, I'm going to point out a few things here. Our soul can be imprisoned with bitterness and with unforgiveness. You know, a person can have bitterness and unforgiveness in their life, And that becomes a prison. And it's absolutely true, isn't it?
Yeah.
A person can be imprisoned. We can be imprisoned with negative and wrong thinking. That can become a prison that limits us. We may be free on the outside, but we're limited and we're hindered because of negative and wrong thinking. We can be imprisoned with negative feelings. Our feelings are real, and God gave us feelings. That's a part of our being, a part of our makeup, but we shouldn't be governed by our feelings. Too many times we allow ourselves to be governed by our feelings, and if we're feeling bad, then it determines our behavior. It determines our actions. It determines our decisions. It's when we're feeling bad. Well, I feel bad. Well, I feel sad. Well, I feel the, of course, I was the last human, as I announced earlier this year, the last human being to join Facebook, and they gave me an award when I joined. They said, "You are the last human being ever to be on Facebook." And I know some of you are still off the grid, and they haven't found you yet if you're not on. But I was on the grid, and so they thought I was the last one. But I don't use those things on there. You know, there's an emotion thing that you can, when you post, it says so and so is feeling, feeling happy or feeling sad. I never use those because I'm not going to be governed by my feelings. I'm not going to be ruled by my feelings. Amen. And so we can be imprisoned with negative feelings. We can be imprisoned with fear and with worry. Amen. But the good news is this: you can live a life where your soul is free and not in prison. Amen. The psalmist says, "Bring my soul out of prison." Amen. So it's possible to live a life with our souls free from prison. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's talk about some of these that we listed and mentioned. First of all, and this is I think of utmost importance, come out of the bitterness. I want to call you out today to come out of the prison of bitterness and unforgiveness. Come out of that prison. Amen. Bitterness and unforgiveness will hold you captive in your soul. It absolutely will if you allow them to. The hurts, the offenses, the injustices that happen to you, they're real. They're real. But if they're not dealt with, and the only way to properly deal with them, not through revenge, not through nursing that hurt or that injustice, not through rehearsing it, but through releasing it.
Yes, yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Somebody ought to write that down. Don't rehearse it, release it. Don't rehearse it, release it.
Amen.
Don't rehearse your hurt, release it.
Amen?
Amen? Don't rehearse your offense, release it. Amen? Through rehearsing these things, they will form, and holding on to them and not dealing with them through forgiveness, they'll begin to form shackles around our souls. Amen? Unforgiveness, bitterness will form a shackle around your soul. That's why, and again, it's not something that you can deal with. Okay, I dealt with that 10 years ago and I never have to deal with that again. It's something that you're going to continually have opportunities to walk in forgiveness.
Amen.
Jesus made this statement. He said, "It is impossible that offenses should not come." It is impossible that offenses should not come. It's impossible to walk through life and not get offended, not be hurt, not have an injustice come your way. It's impossible. And that not happen to you. So that, what does that mean? It means that I'm going to have to continue to deal with offenses and with hurts and with injustices. And the way that I'm to deal with it in order to stay out of prison is to apply forgiveness. Amen?
Amen.
I want to look at some scripture in Matthew 18. And I want to set this up before I read the portion. I didn't want to take time to read the entire parable. But one day, Peter asked the Lord, he asked Jesus, he said, "Lord, how often should I forgive my brother who sins against me?" He said, "Should I forgive him up to 7 times? And Peter thought Jesus was going to pat him on the head and say, "I'm going to give you a gold star today, Peter. You've really done good. Yes, 7 times, that would be awesome." Jesus said, "Try 70 times 7. He said, "I say to you, not up to 7 times, but 70 times 7. And right after he said that, then he goes into this parable. And we're going to get into the parable here and look at a part of it. But to start out the parable, he talks about a man who was a subject in a kingdom, and he owed the king what was it like 2 talents of gold or something. It was a huge amount. It was like millions of dollars in our currency, millions of dollars. He was in debt, and the king came to him and was going to put him in prison. And he fell down on his knees and he said, please, he commanded that everything he had be sold, his wife and kids be sold, and that the debt be paid. And he fell down before the king and he begged him for mercy. And he said, please have mercy on me and I'll repay. And the Bible says that the king had mercy on him and he forgave the debt. Well, of course, Jesus is talking about our relationship with God. We all owed a debt. Our debt of sin was too great that we could never pay it back. That man would never, it was billions of dollars. That man would never be able to pay back that debt. And the king knew that. And the king said, you know what? I'm never going to get my money anyway from this guy. I'm going to forgive him. I'm going to give him a new start, a fresh start. I'm going to give him a second chance. Amen. And he did. And he wiped it away. And he forgave him. But then here's what happened, though. He went out and found a guy that owed him, a fellow servant that owed him what was equivalent to a few dollars. And so he went and he grabbed him and he said, hey, you need to pay me what you owe. That's like us. After the Lord has forgiven us, after he saved us and he's forgiven us, that's like us looking at our brother or our sister and saying, hey, I can't believe what you did to me. And running and telling somebody, you know what they did to me? This is horrible. And no, I don't forgive you. And I'm not going to speak to you. And, you know, I'm going to unfriend you. And, you know, all this stuff. And so his fellow servant, verse 29, his fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. Be patient with me and I will pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. Now, he thought he was putting this man in prison, but actually if you watch this, you see he's putting his own self in prison. Verse 31, when some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven. Verse 32 is where we're at. The king called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. And he says, he says, verse 33, shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you? Amen. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I have mercy on you? Shouldn't we have mercy on our fellow man, Amen. On our brothers and sisters, Amen. Just as God had mercy on us? Yes. The answer is yes, we should. Then the angry king sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. Verse 35, that's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. Wow. Think about that. So he thinks he's putting this other guy in prison, and he actually puts him, by his actions, he puts himself in prison. Yeah. And he puts himself in a place of being tortured. See, if you rehearse your hurts and injustices and the offenses done to you, you're torturing yourself. You're torturing yourself. The way to handle it is to forgive. The way to handle it is to let it go. Come out of that prison. Come out of that prison of bitterness and unforgiveness. Let it go. Now look at this. This is the terrible thing as well. The old debt that he had been forgiven came back on him, and he was accountable for that again. Did you see that?
Yes.
The king ordered him to go back, and okay, if you're gonna play this way, if this is the way you want to play, this is the way you want to operate, then you have to operate by these rules too. Then, yeah. And the debt that he had been forgiven came back on him.
Yeah.
Unforgiveness is too costly for any of us. Amen.
Yes,
and it will imprison us. So I'm calling you today to come out of that prison of unforgiveness.
Amen.
Then now would be a perfect time as we enter, yes. as we leave 2018 and enter 2019, If you have aught against any, Jesus said in Matthew or in Mark chapter 11, when he's talking about faith and prayer, he said, when you stand praying, forgive. The King James says, if you have aught against any, if you have anything against anyone, what did Jesus say to do? Forgive him. Forgive him. Amen. So don't carry any grudge. Don't carry any unforgiveness. Don't carry any bitterness with you into 2019. Leave it behind. Leave it behind. Amen. Deal with it and leave it behind. Don't let the devil imprison you with unforgiveness and with bitterness. Amen. And then the second thing, we could preach a whole message on each one of these, but the second thing is this: come out of the prison of negative thinking. Come out of the prison of negative thinking. A lot of times we think negatively, we think contrary to the Word of God, we allow the devil to plant these thoughts of defeat and failure and lack and insufficiency and inability and insecurity in our minds, and we get imprisoned by our own negative thinking. And we limit ourselves, and we actually limit what God wants to do in our lives by this negative thinking. So make a decision today that you're coming out of the prison of negative thinking. Lord, bring my soul out of prison. Bring my soul out of the prison of negative thinking. Look at this scripture, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. A stronghold is like a prison. And he says, the weapons that God gives us, they're not carnal, they're not natural, but they're mighty, and they can pull down these strongholds. What kind of strongholds is he talking about? Verse 5, he tells us, casting down arguments. The King James says reasonings. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought. Everybody say every thought. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. In other words, when those negative thoughts come into your mind, instead of beginning to entertain them and speak them and meditate on them and believe them, bring that negative thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Well, how do I do that? Take that negative thought and say, wait a minute, what does the Word of God say about this? Is this what God says about me? Is this what God says about my situation? Is this what God says I am? If the answer is no, then take that thought into captivity. Amen. Put that thought into prison. Don't let that thought put you into prison. Amen. Amen? Praise God. No, I'm not a failure. You may be thinking, I'm a failure. I can't get this right. I've tried all these years and I can't seem to get this right. And here I am in this situation in my life. No, take that thought captive. God says you're more than a conqueror. Yeah. God says you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
Amen. Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So find out what the Word says about your situation. Find out what the Word says about you and who God says you are.
Amen.
And begin to think that way.
Amen.
Begin to think that way. Don't allow negative thinking to imprison you. Amen?
Amen.
In Proverbs it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So you don't want that those negative thoughts to imprison you. So exchange what you're thinking. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. And look at this scripture, Isaiah 55. Here's what we need to do. We need to allow the Word of God to be the final answer and the final authority for our situation. Allow the Word of God to be your final answer and final authority for your situation. Okay, if God says this about me, if God says this about my situation, that's the way it is. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like. Amen. Praise God. Isaiah 55, verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Are there some thoughts you need to be forsaking in your life? Some thoughts that you've been entertaining? Some thoughts that you've been meditating on? Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he'll have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. There's some thoughts we need to be forsaking, folks. Negative thoughts, we need to forsake those. If we're going to come out of that prison, if our soul is going to be free and out of prison, then we're going to have to forsake negative thinking. Hallelujah. Use your card. Amen. This says this card can be kept until needed or sold. Don't sell it. Keep it and use it. Use it as needed. Amen. Use it as needed. Amen. Verse 8, as we go in here in Isaiah 55. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Well, some people misinterpret that and think, oh, well, you know, God's thinking way up here and I'm thinking way down here. Well, I can come up and I can leave my negative thinking and I can come up here and I can begin thinking the thoughts of God. Amen? And so can you. So can you. Well, where are his thoughts at? We got a whole book. We got a whole book. We got 66 books filled with the thoughts of God. There they are right there. These are the thoughts of God. This, amen? Praise God. His word. Amen? Look at this scripture, Jeremiah 29. You know this, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. This is what, here's what God's thinking about you. What are they? He says, thoughts of peace and not of evil. God's thinking thoughts of peace. The word peace there, shalom, it also means prosperity. Amen. Amen. God's thinking thoughts of peace and success and prosperity about your life. Amen. You need to start thinking the same way. Amen. Amen. I said you need to start thinking the same way. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you a future and a hope. Amen. Amen. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I'll listen to you and you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Verse 14, it says, I'll be found by you, says the Lord, and I'll bring you back from your captivity. Amen. He'll bring you out of prison when you start thinking the same way he's thinking about you. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Good. When we start thinking God's thoughts, we come out of captivity. Amen. That's how we come out of prison. Praise God. You know that I've been a great advocate for the past almost 3 years now of praying the 23rd Psalm and the Lord's Prayer. In January of 2016, I went to the Men's Advance, Full Gospel Business Men's Advance, down at Rock Eagle, and Dr. Mark Rutland, who speaks there every year, was preaching a message, 21 Seconds to Change Your World, and where he was talking about praying, about how the Lord had drawn him back to and into the practice of praying the Lord's Prayer at a desperate time in his life when he was in a place of depression and despair, and he was walking through his home in the middle of the night under depression and despair, and he says, "Will I ever get out of this? Will it?" You know, just talking to himself, asking himself, "Will it ever get any better? Will I have to just live under this cloud of depression the rest of my life?" And he said, a voice spoke to him. And he said, you don't have a prayer. You don't have a prayer. He said, it was like a sneer. He knew it was the voice of the enemy, the voice of Satan. It was like it was mocking him. You don't have a prayer. But he said, almost immediately, the Holy Spirit spoke. He said, it's almost as if the Holy Spirit was waiting for the devil to say what he said so it would have the impact. And the Holy Spirit said, yes, you do. Amen. You do have a prayer. Amen. If you'll reclaim it and use it. And instantly, he said, he knew on the inside, the Lord's Prayer. And he began to pray the Lord's Prayer. And he shared that message that day. And it's as if he was speaking personally to me. And I laid hold of that. And I began praying the Lord's Prayer. And the Lord's Prayer will lead you into forgiveness on a daily basis. Amen. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Amen. 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 Praise God. So that's how you deal with. And I pray, I started praying the Lord's Prayer every day from that day, January 23rd, 2016. Every day I've prayed the Lord's Prayer in the 23rd Psalm multiple times a day, every day. And I encourage you to do the same if you've not already adopted the practice. I would encourage you to do it. If you did it for a while and then you let it slip, I'd encourage you to pick it back up. Amen. Because that's such a cleansing for your soul as far as keeping you in a place of forgiveness. Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Amen. It's the 23rd Psalm. He said, as I've studied these, he said, I know. He said, I'm convinced that they're both, the Lord's Prayer and the 23rd Psalm are both about soul restoration.
Amen.
Amen. Bring my soul out of prison. Hallelujah. And so I'd encourage you to pray the Lord's Prayer. Pray the 23rd Psalm over your life. Amen. Let's look at some of the other statements that are made in this verse relative to our soul being set free from prison. Go back to our first verse, Amy, if you would, in the very first that we started with in Psalm 142. Look what he says here. He says, "Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise your name." He says, "The righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me." So he makes three statements here after saying, "Bring my soul out of prison." The first one is this, that I may praise your name. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise your name. If your soul is bound, if our soul is bound or imprisoned anyway, or in any way, it'll be very difficult, if not impossible, to praise God. Bring my soul out of prison so that I may praise your name. If your soul is in prison, then you're not going to be praising God. Amen. And so the imprisoned soul, you might want to write this down, the imprisoned soul is silent. The imprisoned soul is silent. The soul set free is filled with praise. If it's difficult for you to praise God, then I would check and see if there's some areas in your life where you've allowed your soul to be imprisoned. Amen. Let's look at Psalm 124. I think it's interesting. Psalm 142, verse 7 is our main text today. And if you reverse the two numbers and go to Psalm 124 and verse 7, it talks about a soul coming out of a prison. Now, hold your card. Take a look at your card again. Your get-out-of-jail-free card. Notice the little guy has wings. You know, there's different varieties of this card. I guess depending on what year you bought your Monopoly game. This is an old one. I don't know that, but notice he has wings here. Look at what this scripture says. Our soul has escaped as a bird. So this is a little guy's flying out of the bird cage, okay? Our soul has escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we've escaped. Amen. Glory to God. And then Psalm 126, verse 1 says, "When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream." Verse 2, "Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing." When was our tongue filled with singing? When the Lord turned our captivity. When the Lord released us from captivity. Amen. "Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise your name." Amen. But you know, the reverse is true as well. Paul and Silas found themselves in a physical prison one night, didn't they? But you know, the great reality was, though, even though their bodies were in prison, obviously, their souls were not in prison, because in that prison, they began to pray and they began to sing praises. And as they began to pray and sing praises, their chains fell off. The prison doors flew open. Amen. So how important is it that you keep your soul free and out of prison? Because if your soul is free, a soul free from prison can cause your body to be free as well. Amen. From a prison of sickness. Amen. Amen. From a prison of lack. Yes. Amen. Why? Because we know that praise turns things around. Amen. Amen. But if your soul is in prison, a soul in prison is silent. So come out of that prison. Come out of that prison. Amen. Amen. Come out of that prison of unforgiveness, of negative thinking, and get free and begin to praise God. It'll bring freedom to every area of your life. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Then he says this. He says, "The righteous shall surround me." Back in Psalm 142, "Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me." All right? For some folks, the reason that their soul is in prison is because they're surrounding themselves with the wrong folks. They're continually surrounding themselves with those that are negative and bitter and filled with worry and filled with fear. Now, you know, some, yeah, that's all the people I work with, Pastor. Pray that I get a new job. And now, again, you have to be around. You know, I'm not necessarily going to pray. Maybe God wants you to be a light in that place where you're working. Amen. Praise God. And And so for you to get, but here's the point, for you to get free and for you to stay free, then you've got to surround yourself with the righteous. Hear me this morning. For you to get free and stay free, you've got to surround yourself with the righteous. Amen. Amen. He says, the righteous shall surround me. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me. You've got to make a decision that you're going to surround yourself with the righteous. That's why the scripture says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Amen. If you isolate yourself, and again, that's what the devil tries to do. The devil says, oh, you don't need to go to church, or you don't need to be around, you know, you don't need to be around Christians. You'll be all right, just do this. And you'll sink into further and further despair and depression as you do that. Amen. You got to make the choice and the decision to do that. I got to be around the righteous. God designed it that way. He said, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. He says this in Ephesians 4:16. See, we need one another. We need one another. You need to be around people that are people of faith. You need to be around people that believe the promises of God. You need to be around people that believe the Word of God. And they're going to encourage you to do the same thing. Amen. Ephesians 4:16 says, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. See, there's a supply that every joint brings that we all draw from when we come together. You see that? According to the effective working by which every part does its share. You have a supply to bring. You have a share that you contribute. And we all draw from that. When we come together. That's why God's the one man didn't come up with this idea of church. God came up with it. This is God's idea. This is God's plan. Amen? All right. It says, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I want to read this out of the New Living Translation. I like the way it reads in the New Living. It says, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow.
Yes. Amen.
As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow.
Hallelujah.
Ask yourself as we leave 2018 and get ready to enter into 2019, what is your own special work that God has called you to bring to the body? Because if you don't bring that supply, then we all suffer. The other parts can't grow if you don't bring your supply, if you don't do your own special work. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body, I love this, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that the whole body, that's my goal, that's my desire for 2019 for City on a Hill Church, that we're healthy, that we're growing, and that we're full of love.
Amen.
Amen. That's my desire for City on a Hill Church, that we're healthy and growing and full of love. Amen. Hallelujah. Individually and collectively. Praise God.
Amen.
And that's going to happen as each part does its share. And that's going to happen in your life and for you. And you're going to stay out of prison, keeping your soul out of prison, as the righteous surround you.
Amen.
Amen. As you put yourself in a place where you're drawing on the supply that every member of the body brings. Amen.
Yes.
We need each other. We need each other. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, Peter's talking about resisting the devil, submitting to God and resisting the devil. And he says this, he makes this statement, stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of suffering you are. Notice this is another reason why you need the righteous to surround you, because otherwise the devil will get you thinking, you know, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. You know, I'm the only one. I'm the only one that's going through this. I'm the only one dealing with this. I'm the only one that this is happening. No, you're not. Shut up. Stop that. Amen. No, negative thinking, you know, pity thinking, tells you that nobody knows how bad you have it. No, that's not true. Your brothers, your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through, probably worse, going through the same kind of suffering you are. And getting together with one another reminds us of that. Hey, it may be tough what I'm dealing with right now, but hey, so-and-so's been through that too, and they made it through. Let me encourage you. Let me tell you how God brought me through. Let me encourage you how God helped me. Amen. We need each other from that standpoint too. Amen. And you need to be surrounded. The righteous shall surround me. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise your name. The righteous shall surround me. And then he says, finally, he says, for you shall deal bountifully with me. For you shall deal bountifully with me. See, God wants to pour out his favor. God wants to pour out his blessings. God wants to pour out his abundance on each and every one of us. God wants to deal bountifully with you in 2019. Amen. Hallelujah. So, don't you want God to deal bountifully with you?
Yes.
Amen. So we have to come out of that prison of negative thinking. We have to come out of that prison of, oh, well, that can never happen to me. Oh, well, God would never bless me. Oh, well, I don't have enough faith. Oh, well, that's nonsense. Amen. That's lies. Amen. God wants to deal bountifully with you. God wants to deal bountifully with you. Amen. Praise God. Come out of that prison of bitterness and unforgiveness. It's hindering God from being able to deal bountifully with you. It's hindering your blessing. It's hindering you from experiencing the bountifulness of God. Unforgiveness and bitterness will hinder you. Jesus said, when you stand praying, forgive. That's the number one hindrance to your prayers being answered, to your faith working. Amen? Look at this scripture in 3 John 2. 3 John verse 2, he says, Beloved, I pray that you may what?
Prosper.
That you may prosper in all things and be in health. Notice the condition, though. What is it? Just as your soul prospers. Just as your soul prospers. Are you getting this?
Yes.
We're going to prosper and be in health as our soul prospers. So the key is our soul prospers. If your soul is in prison, it's not prospering. And if your soul is in prison and not prospering, then you won't be able to prosper in all things and be in health.
Right.
So your soul prospering, your soul being free, your soul being out of prison is key to you walking in prosperity and abundance and health and the bountiful blessing that God wants to bring into your life. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. As we wrap it up, and Reed, you can come back up if you would. As we wrap it up this morning, I want to look at an example. This guy, and I refer to him quite often, but he's one of my heroes in the Bible, and that's Joseph in the Old Testament. In Genesis, we'll pick up his story in chapter 39, but before that, Joseph was a favored son of his father Jacob, who became Israel. And Joseph had brothers, and his brothers were jealous of him because Joseph was favored. And his brothers ended up selling him. They were going to kill him. Some of them said, let's just kill him and let's be rid of him. Others said, no, let's don't kill him. Let's sell him. And they sold him to some Midianite traders. And he ends up down in Egypt working for a man named Pharaoh, or Potiphar, excuse me. He was an officer of Pharaoh. We'll pick up the story there. Genesis 39, verse 1, it says, Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph. So these Ishmaelite traders bring him down to Egypt. Potiphar buys him from the Ishmaelites. And so here he becomes a servant, a slave of this man named Potiphar. And yet the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now, if anyone had a reason to be bitter, if anyone had a reason to be negative, it was Joseph. I mean, his brothers rejected him, and his brothers mistreated him, and his brothers actually sold him to be a slave. And so he's forcibly removed from his family. Think about that. Forcibly removed from his family. And as far as he knows, he'll never see his family again. How horrific is that? And so he's certainly, if anybody had the a good reason just to lay down and quit and give up, it was Joseph. But it says, we know he didn't, because it says the Lord was with him and he was a successful man and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So he couldn't have been successful if he had allowed his soul to be in prison. Even though he was enslaved, he didn't allow his soul to be enslaved. Amen. And then we know what happened a short time later. He's falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. And he ends up in prison. Verse 20 of Genesis 39 says, "Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined." Please make a note of that, because that's going to be, it's going to figure significantly in the next couple of moments here as this story unfolds. So he was not only placed in prison, but a specific prison, the prison where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Some of you, if you're like me, you're probably thinking, and maybe Joseph was thinking, if Joseph was like us, he'd be thinking, "Well, Lord, if you'd have been with me, if you wanted to show me mercy, why didn't you do it before they sold me down here in Egypt?"
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes we miss God's mercy. Sometimes we miss God's favor because we think, "Oh, well, it should have turned out this way, God. Why did you even allow me to be sold? If you really loved me, if you really wanted to show mercy to me and have favor on me, why did you even allow me to be sold as a slave? Why did you allow me to be separated from my family?" But he didn't allow that thinking to keep him in prison. He kept following God, and he kept walking with the right heart, and he was able to experience God's mercy and favor. Amen. Even in prison. And it says in verse 22, "And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing." And so Joseph was basically put in, even though he was a prisoner himself, he was put in charge of the prison.
Right. Amen.
That is the favor of God. Amen. That is God dealing bountifully.
Amen.
With you.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper.
Amen.
Why? Because his soul was prospering. Because his soul wasn't in prison. All right. And again, Joseph has even more reason to be bitter, to be negative, and to give up, but he doesn't. Amen. And then, in chapter 40, we find out that two of the king's officers get thrown into prison. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, this is verse 5 of chapter 40, who were confined in the prison, had a dream, both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came into them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his Lord's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today?" Now, Joseph responding that way and asking that question tells me that Joseph was not in a pity party.
Right.
Tells me that Joseph didn't allow his soul to be in prison, because he wouldn't even thought about what anybody else, how they were feeling. But Joseph was not disconcerned about himself, because his soul was free. He was able to look at someone else and say, "Hey, what's wrong? How can I encourage you? How can I make your day better? How can I bless you?"
Amen.
Amen. Amen. A soul that's in prison is consumed with its own misery. A soul that's in prison is consumed with its own misery, has no vision for helping someone else or encouraging them. So Joseph was not preoccupied with his own problems. His soul was free.
Right.
He was able to see the needs of others, and he was able to encourage them and minister to them as he did to these guys. So finally, after 2 years, the butler's restored to his position, and he forgets Joseph. Joseph said, "Hey," as he was walking out, as he was going back, Joseph said, "Hey, remember me. Remember me to the king." He says, "I'll be sure and do it." Gave him a thumbs up, forgot him. 2 years later, the king, Pharaoh, has a dream. And the butler says, Oh, there was a guy down there in prison that interpreted my dream. And it came to pass just like he said. King, I know who you need to talk to. I know who we need to get. And so they called for Joseph. By this time, he'd been in prison 13 years. 17 when he was sold as a slave. Now he's 30. And so the Bible says he shaves and he changes his clothes and he comes before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh tells him the dream. And Joseph said, yeah, here's the interpretation. Here's what's going to happen. It's coming 7 years of abundance, 7 years of plenty. And then after that, there'll come 7 years of famine. What you need to do, king, you need to appoint someone that's wise and has understanding, and get them to gather up the grain and store the grain so you can make it through. And the king says, well, I think I found him right here. I think he's standing in front of me. And he puts Joseph as second in command over the nation.
Amen.
So Joseph goes from prison to second in command in the nation.
Amen.
All in one day.
Amen.
What's this? God dealing bountifully with him.
Yes.
God dealing bountifully with him.
Yes.
It didn't look like it. For 13 years, it didn't look like it. But God was setting him up.
Amen.
And God dealt bountifully with him. And the Bible says in Genesis 41, Joseph gets married and he has two kids. And the name of the first one, he says, Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. The word Manasseh, the name Manasseh means he helps me forget. He helps me forget. For God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. Then he has another child. And the name of the second he called Ephraim. The name Ephraim means double prosperity. For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Do you know if you'll allow your soul to stay free, then God can cause you to be fruitful even in the land of your affliction, even in the land of your trouble. God can cause you to be fruitful, and God can give you double prosperity. The Message Bible says, God has prospered me in the land of my sorrow. He came into Egypt as a slave. He spent years in prison. But now he's second in command over the entire nation. Amen. And God did that. But God was able to do that because Joseph kept his heart. How do we know Joseph kept his heart right? Well, later, you know, when his brothers finally came to Egypt, they thought, oh my goodness, he's going to, when they realized it was Joseph, that he's going to exact revenge on us now. He says, guys, I don't hold anything against you. You meant it for evil. But God meant it for good.
Amen.
I forgive you. I love you. I'm glad to see you. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I want to close up with this. I want to make this statement. Don't get so used to prison life that you choose it over living free.
Amen.
You know, people can do that. People can get so used to prison life. People can get, and I'm talking about naturally, that you know it's just, you know, they don't know how to function in the free world, so it's just safer to be in prison. And spiritually we can get so used to prison life. Spiritually and in our souls we can get so used to living in unforgiveness and bitterness. And well, I just can't forgive. It's just too big of a challenge. Children of Israel, it happened to them. When they got released out of Egypt, they got out and they were on their way to the promised land.
Yeah.
They complained to Moses.
Yeah.
We don't have anything to eat. We don't have anything to drink. At least we had that in Egypt. Let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back. Yeah, they had to live by faith.
Yeah.
It was a challenge to live by faith, but they were free.
Yeah.
But they said, you know, it was safer. It was safer. At least we knew we had, we got beaten. Yeah, we were slaves, but at least we could go home at night and we did have food. Let's go back. Let's go back. Sometimes we get so used to living in prison that we choose that over living free.
Wow.
Sometimes we get so used to living in unforgiveness and negative thinking and that we choose that over living in the freedom that God wants us to have. Don't do that.
Amen.
Don't make that mistake.
Amen.
Choose to live free.
Amen.
Choose to live free. Choose to come out of every prison in your soul.
Amen.
Amen. Stand up with me.